Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week's episode, we're talking about football, the NBA, and of course, make a quick mention of our World Juniors. Hopefully, Canadians can pull it out, but we'll see. If you enjoy this podcast, if you've supported us throughout, we appreciate it. It has been another crazy year. We've got one more episode after this for the year, and I can't wait for it. If you have already hit the subscribe button, I am so thankful. Steve is thankful, I am sure, that you are able to do that. We appreciate it more than you know. If you'd like to check out our merch, we're available on TeePublic and Redbubble. Just search Armchair Commentary. You'll see the logo. If you haven't, make sure to hit the subscribe button. It means more than you know. And without further ado, I'm just going to get right into it. The player haters ball.
Another week, and boy, the NFL never disappoints, does it? I mean, even when it's bad, it's good. And nothing kind of encapsulates that more than the once undefeated, once highly touted Steelers of Pittsburgh. And let's be honest, Steve, they could very well lose this. Like, their division is not only at stake here, there's a like a real possibility that it's at stake. Like, they're in danger. They're in danger close here.
I agree. I'm actually expecting them to lose their division lead. We said it a few weeks ago, like, the Steelers were 11-0, and I thought that was the most, like, how do I say this, dishonest 11-0 I'd seen in some time. I never for a second believed that Steelers team was going to go undefeated. They were, like, pulling out games by the skin of their teeth with lucky calls. And they're still a pretty good football team, but they're playing much worse. And they started with a really close game against someone who I cannot remember now that wasn't a very good football team. Kind of similar to when the Bucks had their close game with the Giants, and then they kind of tailspun for a minute there. When good teams can't beat bad teams convincingly, you start to get worried. And obviously, the Steelers losing to the Bengals whenever that was, Sunday, was it? Sunday? It was on Sunday.
Monday.
Yeah. But the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday games, I'm starting to get a little confused. But that being said, they've lost the Redacteds now. They lost to the Ravens, and they've lost to the Bengals, right? They've lost four of the last five. They've now four losses, so they lost four of the last five. I think they pulled it one win in their losses after they started losing. But or I think they've lost every game in a row.
They almost lost to the Titans.
Oh, that was weeks ago. Yeah, they got the lucky field.
They almost lost to the Ravens before they lost to the Redacteds, the Bills, and the Bengals. To be honest, the Redacteds are okay. They're not great. They're good defensively, and depending on who's playing quarterback, they can be better than their record. The Bills are a good team. They're probably the best team in the AFC outside of Kansas City. Just looking at it on face value, they're really good.
I'm excited for the Bills, to be honest with you.
And the Bengals were running with not their main backup quarterback, not their number one draft pick, Joe Burrow, who's injured, but former draft pick and former potential quarterback of the Bengals, Ryan Finley, and they beat the daylights out of the Steelers. And now they've got to go up against your Colts, who are fighting for a division and are a bona fide playoff team, who are looking probably to make a stand here. I think the division kind of counts on the Colts winning out, or at least winning and having Tennessee lose, right?
They have a better divisional record, so we need some breaks. But, like, we have to win no matter what. The Titans have an easier schedule. But I think the Titans still play the Packers, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's, like, their big test down the stretch, which we beat the Packers. There's a whole narrative we can get into on the Packers if you want to. But every year the narrative on the Packers, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but, yeah, see, Green Bay and Tennessee's on the 27th. They're playing on NBC on Sunday Night Football, so there you go. The narrative on the Packers has always been that, like, they always beat up on bad teams and lose to good teams, and I don't see how that narrative has really changed this year. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. He's still fantastic. They've never gotten that guy a weapon in all of his years there. God, thank God, because if they'd gotten him an elite receiver, if they had gone out and gotten him, like, say, DeAndre Hopkins, for example, like Arizona went and got for Kyler Murray. Like, look yeah. out. Like, if he'd ever gotten an elite receiver in his years, like from Emmanuel Sanders, like, I don't know if Sanders considers elite. He was elite to me anyway for years there. Or like, if they just went and got one guy that could like really be a number one option that could draw doubles and stuff like that, Aaron Rodgers' career numbers would probably be around Manning, Breeze's, and Brady's right now. But unfortunately, they keep giving him fifth round picks that like he turns into like, you know, flowers more or less. I'm not the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan, but you can't discount like how good he actually is and how he makes Green Bay competitive every single year, whether they're good or not. So, but yeah, I hope that the Packers can best the Titans and we can best the Steelers. I think our last two games are the Steelers and the Jaguars, I believe.
That would make sense. Cleveland is who the Steelers end their season on, and that's another tough matchup. I don't know if I want to play Cleveland at all right now. They look great. They almost beat Baltimore.
They beat us this year, right? So I am weary of the Browns. Yeah, we play Cleveland. We play Pittsburgh this weekend. So if that's the case, then we close out against. Oh, we close out against the Jaguars. So yeah, the biggest bungle of all, the Jaguars playing in the Tank Bowl. Those guys are so. We could beat the Steelers. We have a pretty good shot of taking this division. I believe that this division is ours to win, as long as the Colts losing to the Jaguars to start the season has been like a thorn in our side all year. If we win that game, which we should have won, losing that game is still probably the sore spot. Because if you look at the teams we lost to this year outside of the Jaguars, it's the Browns, it's the Ravens, and it's the Titans. So like one of these things is not like the other, obviously. The Jaguars beating us in week one was like...
That's tough. It's
pain. But I mean, hey, it's not as painful as the shade Tom Brady threw at us this week. So we got back.
What is Tony Dungy doing?
I don't know. I'm never like, I know I'm a Colts fan and I'm supposed to ride or die.
I know you were the Dungy guy.
Frank Reich is my favorite coach the Colts have had in my adult life. I think they had Jim Moore when I was younger. I think I was like a young adult, teen/young adult, but like, Dungy's over-reliance on the cover two, which is weak over the middle, which Belichick and them just feasted on for years. Cotwell wasn't bad. I just feel like he was kind of a cyborg and didn't really have much reaction to things.
He's up for the Texans job.
Good. He deserves it. He's a good NFL head coach. Like, he's not the worst. Like, I've grown to – put it this way. Pagano made me appreciate Cotwell, much like Patricia made the Lions appreciate Cotwell, if that makes sense. Like, you don't really – like. Is he the best coach in football? Absolutely not. He's not even in the realm. But he's like upper middle pack. So he definitely deserves a job in the NFL because teams get worse when he leaves. And we got between our GM Grigson and like Pagano, and it got messy in Indy there for a few years. It was I don't blame Andrew Luck. Let's put it that way. But yeah. With Tom Brady, like why we have a 2014 AFC finalist banner, I have no idea. But can they burn that? I beg Ursay in between lines of cocaine and alcohol. Could he like just burn that banner? Like, who celebrates that? That's disgusting. Like, especially a team as successful as the Colts, right? Like,
you have a ring.
Yeah, we're not the greatest franchise in football, but we're no way the worst. Like, we've had a long, this century's been pretty good to us. There's been a few bad years, but other than all, like, we've had like, even when I like chide Patriots fans for having a luxury of riches, like, the Colts are right there as far as like probably only the Steelers have probably had a better century than us, right? Like so far these first 20 years. So, I mean, and the Giants too, because they got two Super Bowls, but like the Giants have been historically awful a lot in these last 20 years. Moral of the story is what the hell is the AFC finalist? I think that was Deflategate year too, wasn't it? 2014?
I think so, yeah.
God, what a memorial. Burn that. So I don't give Tom Brady a lot of credit on a lot of things, but that shade he threw on Twitter like hit me right in the chest. And when I sent you the message yesterday while I was in the parking lot at the vet, and I was like, I need a distraction. This made me laugh. This works. AFC's wide open as far outside of the Chiefs. If that makes sense, I feel like Buffalo is beatable. I feel like everybody in the AFC is beatable except for the Chiefs. Like I want to see the Colts play the Chiefs. Like I want to see my balls nailed to a steps tool. So like I don't, you know, that's me.
It doesn't look like the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL right now. And if you don't think so, I don't know what you're looking at. I do have a question about Aaron Rodgers that I want to get to in a second. If the playoffs started today, the Ravens and Raiders are on the outside looking in. Do you think the Ravens still make the playoffs?
Yes. We discussed this a week or two ago. The Ravens' schedule down the stretch is butter soft. So either Cleveland slips or Pittsburgh slips, but one of those teams are going to slip down the stretch and the Ravens are going to slide up.
Because right now, what it looks like is Chiefs, Bills, Steelers for your top three already clinched. The Titans, Browns, Colts, and Dolphins are all in the playoffs. Yeah, they're all in the playoffs. And the Ravens and Raiders are looking out. So as of right now, the Raiders aren't – they're technically, they can still get in.
They're mathematically still there, but like yes, for all intents and purposes,
they have season. To beat the Dolphins this weekend, and they need help. But yeah, I think they can still get in.
I mean, given how they played the last few weeks, I would not.
They don't deserve it.
No. I'm sad that I'm scared it's going to be the Browns that come up on the short end of the stick, because history tells me that's probably what's going to happen. I hope the Browns stay true and make it. I don't think Baltimore deserves to go home either.
They've got the Jets this week. The Browns have the Jets. They have the Jets.
But they have the Jets, and then they get the Steelers in Cleveland.
Yes. Steelers have been in free fall, and the Browns are on the right side of like looking right. They're getting their offense figured out slowly.
2 weeks ago, the Ravens were on a free fall, and they turned their season around again in the game against the Browns. The Browns still have little brother syndrome. Okay. I know no one wants to talk about it, and it sucks because I want them to escape it, and hopefully that Steelers game is the game they escape it. But when they played the Steelers in week, what, 5 or 6, they got beat 38-7. So, and then that was followed by a close win over the Bengals, a loss to the Raiders. Then they ripped off 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 straight wins, and then lost to the Ravens again. Like, it's
– yeah. The Ravens have a great schedule down the stretch.
That's why I'm scared. The Ravens have the easier schedule on the way down the road, right? And that's why I think
Dolphins might miss the playoffs. They may be the ones on the outside looking in here.
I hope. God, I don't want any of the. I'm so happy for this fresh blood in the AFC that I don't want any of these teams to miss. But if anybody's going to miss, I would wager it's either the Dolphins or the Browns. Those are two teams with like horrible luck. Don't ask me to pick which one I want in there. I like both, and I want all those teams to make it. I wish Tennessee would fall out. That would make me happy. Not because I hate the Titans, because I kind of do, because they're a division rival.
But I do.
I know we've had this conversation on this podcast, but I wish all these teams could make it. Like, I'd love to watch the AFC playoffs with the Browns and like the Ravens and the Colts and the Dolphins and the Bills. It's so refreshing, right? It's such a, like, the Colts aren't refreshing. The Steelers aren't refreshing. Hell, the Ravens aren't refreshing. The Chiefs definitely won't be refreshing soon enough, but like just the Browns and the Browns and the Dolphins in the AFC playoffs in 2020, it just sounds right. I mean, the Dolphins deserve to miss. They pulled the plug on Fitzpatrick for Tua, who is just clearly proving he's not quite there yet. And they just seem determined to ride that no matter what. Yep. And I think that's where their season slipped, because every loss they've had is more or less Tua related. Outside of the first 2 weeks of the season, obviously. But Fitzpatrick lost 3 of their games. I apologize. But then they ripped off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight wins. And then I think Tua showed up in the Broncos game, and that's when he got pulled, and they put Fitzpatrick in, and he tried to usher in a comeback and failed. That Broncos lost. Honestly, the Broncos ruined a lot of team seasons this year, if you actually look at it. The team has been spoiling all year for a bad football team. Their wins are they derailed your season. They've derailed the Dolphins' season. Okay, maybe they haven't derailed as many seasons as I thought. They only have a few wins. They beat the Jets, the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Dolphins. But that derailment of the Dolphins is, again, like us with the Jaguars, that's like their game. That's their Jaguars, right? Like, they're losing to the Broncos. And the Broncos aren't that bad. They're 5-9. Jesus, they'd be in the playoff contention in the NFC, right? But
well, the NFC is a little different. And you were mentioning Aaron Rodgers. Before we get too deep into the bubble teams, because there are quite a few still. Basically, the NFC East is still a bubble team, and the Bears and the Vikings are technically still able to get in, but only because the Cardinals aren't running away with. They should win this week against the Niners, and I think that closes the door on both of the, or at least the Vikings. The Bears might still be in it because the NFC North isn't great, if I'm not mistaken.
The NFC North? No, it's the Packers. Again, the Packers rap every year as they beat up on bad divisions, and people don't value that.
Listen, you're talking to someone who is a Patriots fan through and through. So
I mean, yes, and that is a that's a valid argument in past years. But like, what I'm saying is the Packers have been how do I say this? No, it's worse in the AFC East. But I mean, the Patriots are all time great. What have the Packers done? Right?
I know. Is Aaron Rodgers a legitimate candidate for MVP this year? Or is he part of trying to justify someone else being so obviously Mahomes is Mahomes. I think that Josh Allen has done a lot of great things. He might deserve some mentions. People were very high on Kyler. He got hurt. I don't think he's there anymore. I think he will be there in the future, but I don't think he's there this year.
I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers' numbers, and if anybody. I know it's not all just numbers, and I just said he beats a lot of teams, but he's what almost a 70% completion rating, just a hair under four. He'll hit 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and four interceptions. Like this is otherworldly football this man's playing. I haven't really been paying attention. So he's a 2-time MVP, 9-time Pro Bowler. Pro Bowler means absolutely nothing to me. All Pro means something to me. He's also in the Hall of Fame All 2010s team. I don't know, man. I love Patty Mahomes, and I think he is the best quarterback in football. I don't see how you could give it to Josh Allen over Aaron Rodgers looking at what I'm looking at. But look at Mahomes. So Mahomes is, I mean, Jesus. Mahomes' numbers are lesser, but, I mean, it's like lesser in, like, you know, what kind of high-end cut steak you want. He's 67% completion percentage, 4,462 yards, 36 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. These numbers are incredible. But now when you go to Josh Allen, and I like Josh. I find him to be one of the more entertaining football players in the league.
He's got 4,000 yards on the nose.
30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and a 68% completion rating. Even he is balling out of control. People have been talking about how he's had slips and stuff. Like, these are incredible numbers for a guy that I didn't think was an NFL quarterback a year and a half ago. So, yeah. I mean, any of those three. I mean, any of those three could win. I mean –
Deshaun is up there. How crazy is that? How crazy is it that Deshaun Watson has 4,100 yards, 27-6, and a 69.9, like let's call it 70% completion rating, and he's not even going to make the playoffs?
That Houston team has a lot of problems, and holy Deshaun Watson ain't one of them. Deshaun Watson is incredible. Like I firmly believe Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and now I guess Josh Allen to an extent, are going to run this league for a very long time. But that's the fact they're all in the AFC is wild. I mean, I don't see any young – let me say that. There's great quarterbacks in the NFC, but I don't see a lot of great young quarterbacks in the NFC.
Kyler Murray.
I wouldn't say he's great yet. But, again, it's only his second year. Josh Allen sucked in his second year, so I'll give him time. I believe in him. There's potential. But, like, Watson, Mahomes, out the gate, you knew. Josh Allen, definitely didn't know. Aaron Rodgers, we kind of knew pretty early once we started seeing him, once we actually started seeing him. I don't know, man. Yeah. If looking at this, looking at teams and everything else, I have a hard time going against Patrick Mahomes. But if any of these three guys win, I think it's well deserved.
I've just heard a lot of people talking about how Aaron Rodgers is the front runner for MVP. And I was like, that's cute. But I still don't see how Mahomes isn't it, other than just trying to like not make the obvious thing. Josh Allen's an interesting case. I don't think he's probably third place on that list. He does have 8 rushing touchdowns and almost 400 yards on the ground.
Josh Allen's playing. Like, I mean, without Josh Allen, the Bills aren't a playoff team. Like, Josh Allen's emergence is why the Bills are as good as they are. And if he's playing like this is some top-notch football. Like, this double dual threat kind of quarterback playing. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback run and throw like this.
So just so you know where Josh Allen has come from, rookie season. He played in 12 games, 10 touchdowns, 12 INTs, 2,000 yards. The next year takes a step, 16 games, starter all the way through, 3,000 yards, 20-9. And now this year, 4,000 yards, 30-9. He's added 10 more touchdowns, same amount of interceptions as he had last year.
Remember when we had Jack on going into the season? He bashed Stephon Diggs, and I was like, no disrespect to Jack. Jack knows probably more about football than I do. I mean, not probably, he does. But I was like, I don't know, man. I like Stephon Diggs, and we just kind of.
I was always a Diggs fan, but yeah.
Yeah.
He's the reason. Diggs' numbers are also unreal. I don't know if you saw, this is the thing. I know that we spend a lot of time talking about, the teams, and obviously there's players, but Diggs is leading the league in receipt and receptions.
He's fantastic.
And he's 10 yards behind D-Hop for the yards, I think.
He's better than I thought he was. I thought he was really good. Number three, yeah. So I thought he was going to be good. I thought he was good in Minnesota. I thought Kirk Cousins was a bum, and he showed his frustrations, and I think that's fair. If I saw Kirk Cousins getting all that money and playing as poorly as he did, I would probably have a sourpuss on my face too. The fact they extended him, by the way, is almost like a stand-up comedy routine. Anyway, Stephon Diggs was my pick to have a breakout year, but I didn't believe in Josh Allen. I knew that Stephon Diggs could make Josh Allen a better quarterback, but I think they've made each other better, and I think that's even better. Shouts to both those guys. Shouts to the Buffalo Bills, man. The Bills are good. That's fun. That hasn't been a sentence you get to say very often past week five. The Bills are good. Because the Bills had a couple of years where they started 4-0, and then train went off the tracks. But I'm really happy for these guys. And the city of Buffalo, which I used to live very close to. I know you're a Patriots fan. It's tough what you guys are going through right now. But, if it's going to be somebody, you kind of want it to be the Bills. Their fan base is awesome. Buffalo is such a – I hope we don't have any Buffalo Lizards. Buffalo is such a downtrodden place. I don't know if you've ever been. So, the Bills being awesome is probably one of my – same with the Browns. The Bills and the Browns and the Dolphins being good have been, my favorite narratives this year. Those are three garbage can franchises for the better part of the last 20 years that are all emerging with good young players all across the board. The Chiefs, you can say what you want about the Chiefs, but the Chiefs have been pretty good for the majority of this 20 years. These last 20, they've only won one Super Bowl before Mahomes got there. They were still a very good football team. Who was the quarterback in Buffalo before Josh Allen? Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod, and before that, I don't even remember.
There's been a lot of guys from JP Lossman or Losman and Peterman or Nathan Peterman.
Magic was there for a while.
He actually got an extension in Buffalo one time. He was Allen got here, he was probably the best quarterback in the last 20 years. Him or Bledsoe, which it wasn't.
All right, so I can here we go. So Fitzmagic came in 2009. It was Magic, Trent Edwards, and Brian Brohm. So Fitzpatrick stayed until 2012, and then we had the EJ Manuel year. If you remember EJ Manuel. Who is, I don't know if he's still playing or not anyway.
EJ Manuel played. I doubt he's still in the league. I mean, he might be. Yeah. God knows.
I mean, EJ Manuel was in the league until 2016. He was from 2013 to 2016. He was around. And we had Tyrod from 2015 to 2017.
They made the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor. And the worst playoff game I've ever watched was the Jaguars-Bills game. That game was a absolute incompetence fest. The fact that the Jaguars almost upset the Patriots in the AFC Championship game blows my mind that year. That's
so
Bortles versus Taylor was the worst quarterback playoff matchup I have ever seen.
The 2017 Bills are the Bills that frustrate me the most because they had a good team. Tyrod was proving that he could throw the ball. He was playing well, and they decided to bench him for Nate Peterman, who of course had awful games. They pulled him. We've gone over this. And now neither of them are with the Bills. Peterman stayed with the Bills another year, but 18 is when Josh Allen came in.
And he looked like a absolute dumpster fire at first. He did not look like he was an NFL quarterback.
Well, I told you, 10 TDs, 12 interceptions in his first year.
Yeah, but I think he had some rushing touchdowns. Was kind of even. Kudos to Buffalo for sticking with him, too. A lot of teams would see those first two seasons with him and say, maybe we need to re-examine this. I'm pretty sure – how do I say this? I'm pretty sure the Giants are reconsidering Jones right now. Like I
don't know if they are or they aren't. He's hurt right now, and it's not quite a, like, without Saquon, I don't know if it's fair. If he has another bad year, I think he's done, though.
They're considering it now. I don't say he's done. But, like, it's not like the Josh Rosen situation in Arizona where he came in 1 year and they're like, get the hell out of here. They shipped him to Miami. He was worse in Miami. And now I think he's on the Jets practice squad. Like, that guy fell. I don't think he's that. But Dwayne Haskins is a lottery pick, and I keep telling you, he's going to be in the XFL soon. So there you go.
Fun fact, who has the most career games at quarterback for the Bills?
I'm going to take a shot in the dark, and it's not really much of a shot, but it's probably not who I think it is. I'm going to go with Jim Kelly, but it's probably someone else.
Jim Kelly is number two. He has 160 games. Here are your one, two, three, four, top six Buffalo Bills quarterbacks by games played, okay?
Oh, God.
This isn't by wins. This is because there's not a lot of wins. Jim Kelly is the most winning for the
obviously
record.
Obviously.
What a shock. Didn't they go to like four Super Bowls?
In a row, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not kick Buffalo. Okay.
Tyrod Taylor has 44 career games. He is the sixth most career games as Bills quarterback. Drew Bledsoe had 48. Mm-hmm. That was from 02 to 04. It is the fifth most. Fitzmagic from 09 to 2012, fourth on that list with 55. We get into our classics. Jack Kemp, 88 career games with the Bills. Jim Kelly, obviously, 160 career games, and can't say enough good about Jim Kelly's all-time greats. And then Joe Ferguson, number one, 164 games from 73 to 84.
He only
won 77 games.
You know how I knew he was? I knew if it wasn't Jim Kelly, I didn't get a chance to say it, but if it wasn't Jim Kelly, it was going to be the quarterback of the OJ Bills, and it was. I'm like, there's only one other time other than Jim Kelly where some quarterback could have kept a job in Buffalo, and it would probably with O.J. Simpson running the football. And for those that don't know, I think O.J.'s 70 to 79 with the Bills. So he got six full seasons with O.J. So that's a pretty good indicator that six full seasons that was 14-game seasons back then. That's still going to put you up there. But, hey, he hung around till 84, so he had to have some value because O.J. left for San Francisco at that point. So well before that point.
So this week we have a December 25th game. I don't know why they're doing that. It seems ludicrous given the NBA owns Christmas Day. But the Vikings and Saints are playing. I don't know what I expect out of this game. The Saints are in a bit of trouble.
Until Drew Brees gets healthy and comes back, I think maybe, yeah. I think
he's back, but he's not playing healthy. But he's back, and they lost.
Well, I mean, I've said it on numerous occasions on the show that Drew Brees tends to turn into a pumpkin this time of year. Every year, except for 1 year. God, everyone. Oh, anyway. Yeah, so.
Saturday games, the 26th, we've got Lions, Bucks, Cardinals, Niners, Dolphins, Raiders. How great would it be to see the Lions beat the Bucks? God, it's not going to happen. Or maybe it will. Improve my Patriots' chances at a higher draft pick. We're sitting at 11 right now, so. And then the 27th Thursday games, because we can't do this easy. That's our Sunday. That's your Colts and the Steelers, which is probably the marquee game of that week.
It's a 2 o'clock game. I'll be locked in on that one.
Chiefs play the Falcons. Bengals, Texans, Bears, Jags. The Giants and Ravens has potential to be a disaster or a very tight game. I don't know which way it's going to go. Browns over Jets, redacted Panthers, Broncos, Chargers, Eagles, Cowboys, Rams, Seahawks, and Titans and Packers. You are so lucky that they're playing the Packers, because if Aaron Rodgers is mad, maybe they can get a win. And then the Monday night massacre is the Bills over the Patriots.
I think that's going to be a close game.
Probably, because it's a division game and the Patriots always play close, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. So lots of NFL action coming up this weekend. I wanted to shift our focus just a little bit for a few minutes here, just to kind of get us out. It is almost Christmas. which means we're going to have some Christmas Day games in the NBA. That's why I don't understand why the NFL is doing it. I don't think they have they ever done that. Probably.
I mean, the NFL the NFL is trying to replace revenue from
from not having fans. Yeah, I know. The NBA started. We had our first couple of games, but nothing significant has gone on as of yet. We've had, I think, two games, like total in the entire slate.
The Raptors take on the Pelicans tonight, but yeah, I mean, we'll go over it real quick. The Brooklyn Nets, KD looked fantastic. Kyrie looked good. The Nets looked really good, and they stomped a mud hole in the Golden State Warriors. Steph trotted out some cornrows, but it wasn't enough. And the Clippers watched the Lakers get their rings right in front of them and then eked out their second opening day regular season win against them in a Euro. And everyone's going to start saying it's the Clippers' year, and then the Lakers will probably win anyway. And Kawhi, actually, in basketball news, said he's not really looking at opting in. He wants to opt out. So I don't know if Kawhi is going to be a Clipper much longer.
Okay, so I've got a couple of questions. There's a lot to unpack here because, well, there's not a lot. There's one thing I want to unpack here. And it kind of goes to the name of our episode, which you haven't seen the Chappelle Show. You need to take a look at it. But is there a league where there are more people that are hated than the NBA?
No, like, because it's superstars.
No. Like superstar. Like there are people that don't like Tom Brady, that hate Tom Brady. There are people that didn't like Peyton Manning. I don't know if there's anyone that hated him, but other than Patriot fans. Right now, I think you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find people outside of the AFC West fans that don't like Patrick Mahomes. Like, what's there not to like about him? In the NBA, everyone hates a superstar. And I mean, like, they hate superstars. And, like, we're talking about everyone from LeBron down. Like, we were talking last week about how Giannis signed his extension and people were like, not a good deal. And it's like, are you out of your head? Like, what is wrong with people? Kawhi opting out is it going to make him more hated than KD or less hated? Because San Antonio already thinks, like, the Spurs fans already think that he was like trash for what he put them through. And then he came to Toronto. We were very happy to take him and win a championship. Would have loved if he stayed, but he obviously wanted to go home. And now he's talking about he doesn't want to stay necessarily. Would he be the most hated guy in the NBA? Or is he still going to be fun guy? I mean, we'll still love him. I know that. But regardless, where does he go?
You'll never be the most hated guy in the NBA as long as LeBron James is in the NBA. I know, and you've raised the point, like, why there's so many hated players in the NBA is because the NBA allows players to showcase their personality, and not everyone likes, and I this sounds messed up, but not everyone likes, like, black men being so prominent. And I'm not saying it's all racism, but, like, there's strings of it. People don't, if a white guy shows, like, you know, attitude and fire, he's a leader, and he's chippy, and he's all that, and a black guy shows it, and it's like, well, he's a cancer, and he needs to go. And, like, it's his tale all this time. So in a predominantly black league where the players are the stars and not the teams, because in the NFL is the stars. The NFL is the star. The teams are the stars. The players are replaceable. You can't replace LeBron James in the NBA. There's no substitute for Giannis Antetokounmpo. There's no – you can't just plug in – the Bucks aren't the Packers. The Packers are going to do well regardless, but the Bucks are not going to do well without Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Houston Rockets are going to lose a global superstar in James Harden within any minute that could be happening right now as we speak. So the NBA, whether it's Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, who else can we think of here? Steph Curry to an extent. Who else am I missing here? There's any superstar, and then like Anthony Davis isn't really hated, but he isn't really loved either. People, he's very quiet, mild mannered, so everyone just kind of leaves him alone. Not that Giannis is loud and flagrant either, but people love to hate on him anyway because he's back to back MVP, and people hate that. Yes. I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure people are going to find a reason to hate Zion soon enough. Like, if Zion plays this whole season and dominates, Zion can't do this and he can't do that and he's too fat. He's a little fat, but whatever, man. He's a once in a generation athlete that has like a great double jump. Not a double jump, but he can get up and down and go back up really quickly again. He's like a springboard. That's awesome to see. I don't know. I the NBA is just a really polarizing thing. Plus, you got like morons like Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd loves to take shots at NBA players. It's like his whole shtick. It's part of the reason why him and Skipper on Fox. If you're a white guy taking shots at young black men, they love you on Fox. Shout out to Shannon Sharp, though. We love you. The NBA is a really polarizing league, man. The ratings are dipping because white people don't like black people standing up for themselves. I guess that's the narrative. I don't know if that's true or not. I tend to not think it's that. I think people can't afford cable anymore. So they're cutting the cord because millions of Americans are out of jobs. But I'm not an economist, and I don't know the economy that well in the United States. But that's my theory. The NBA is a really interesting subplot. Here's the thing. Kawhi Leonard is probably going to leave LA because all the stories coming out about him, like the things have gone sour. Like it went from like, you know, a whirlwind romance, things went sour because the team came up short. And unless they win this year, he's not going to stay because it's going to get worse. The NBA has now blocked him from having his load management days on national television games because the Clippers are national TV games now, which is crazy in itself to me. But whatever the case may be, I mean, they were kind of there in Lob City years too. But Kawhi hated? I think Kawhi is more like distrusted. Like he's like the basketball savant, and like there's not a lot to hate about Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't give you a lot to hate. Everything people you hear, like
him. Oh, Steve, I can tell you that fans of other franchises don't like him. They think
Laker fans hate him because he rebuked them. And there's a lot of Raptor fans that hate him because he didn't stay. And I mean,
there are Spurs fans hate him for what he did to San Antonio.
And the Spurs, I think of all three, the Spurs fan base, of course, has the most still legitimately gripe about, but he won them a title too. So maybe they should shut the fuck up. I don't know, man.
That'll be another fan base spurned.
So it's the Clippers.
Does he go to New York?
Hell no, he won't go to New York.
I just wanted to hear you say it. I just thought it would be funny.
Like let's put this one in the crosshairs right now. And I'm gonna curse here. I apologize if there's kids listening. There's no fucking such thing as a Clippers fan base. There's the odd Clipper fan, but they're
sure.
They do not have a fan base. It's not like Lakers fans. It's not like Celtics fans. It's not like Raptor fans. It's not like Knicks fans, especially not like Knicks fans who are diehards, even though the team's terrible. Like, you know, like the Clippers fan base is like the Brooklyn Nets fan base. It's not a real fan base. The Brooklyn Nets existence is kind of an albatross to me in itself. I think they should still be the New Jersey Nets. It's offensive. Like, I mean, it doesn't help the Knicks much. Let's put it the way. I think Brooklyn having a better owner is trying to make Brooklyn the new Knicks, and that's not cool. I mean, I wish Dolan would just hurry up and die or go away or sell the team or something so the Knicks could restore themselves to their former glory. He's not at their expense, of course, but I'd like to see it. I don't know, man. It feels like
he's got an opportunity to kind of quell some of the hate, and he's never going to do it. I don't know if it matters.
I think a lot of people hate him because he went to the Clippers. I think like going to such a wet fart of a franchise irritates people. Like the Clippers are a joke. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan made the Clippers relevant for a few years, but they're other than that, and now with Kawhi, obviously, their entire existence is a punchline. Like
it has been, yeah.
Since Sterling bought the team in like 1981 or whatever, and I think Bill Walton was on the team. And then Lob City starts in like 2010 or 2011. I think it's 2010, and then that runs till about 2016-17, I think. So they have about 7 years of Lob City where they're a pretty good team, but they can't get over the hump. And then they go backwards, and then they get Kawhi and Paul George, and they go in the second round like the Clippers do. Like that's what the Clippers do. The Clippers lose in the second round. Hell, winning a playoff series of the Clippers, like there should be banners for division titles in Clipperland, which oddly enough, they didn't even win that this year, last year. So I don't know, man. I think a lot of hate for Kawhi comes from like the whole, oh, he thinks he gets preferential treatment. But like if anything, and the thing is, especially with American media didn't recognize what load management did for the Raptors, Kawhi Leonard, because they weren't watching the Raptors night in, night out, so they didn't give a shit. And I think that spun some negativity in his direction. I mean, I'm going to be frank. When he was here in Toronto and that load management stuff was going on, I was not happy. He's still my favorite basketball player in the world, and he was before he was a Raptor. He'll always be until the day he retires unless someone else emerges. But there was a lot of negativity spewing out of my mouth about load management. So I get it, but it's not from Dipper fans. It's more from, like, you know, just regular basketball eggheads that can't identify a 2-3 zone or can really tell you how a pick and roll works. I don't know. It's tough. Kawhi Leonard's a fantastic basketball player, kind of a quirky, off-kilter personality. Maybe he lets his uncle run his life too much, but I think the rumors about Kawhi and the reality of Kawhi are two very different things. And I think because he's so quiet and muted that people believe the rumors more than, you know, what they actually know.
Sure. It's going to be interesting to watch it play out. The Harden situation's a bit of a mess. We're going to see some fun stuff. Who do we have again tonight? What's tonight's game, Steve?
Raptors Pelicans are on tonight. That's the only game I care, but I think Luka makes his season debut tonight for us. White homers out there that want to see our, fellow Caucasian ball out. You know, there's not a lot of them in there, so shout out to him.
Of course, because they're playing Poa Henix, nothing like the Suns, Mavs, once upon a
time. Hey, man, for the record, we're in a fantasy basketball league, and you took DeAndre Ayton when I was trying to take DeAndre Ayton. I was a little bit behind you, and I was furious at you. Furious at you. And because I had this whole logic in my head that I was going to steal that guy. And I'll explain my reasoning, and maybe you use the same reasoning. But when you took him, I was literally offended. And the reason why is my basketball savant knowledge. I was like, Chris Paul has turned chicken shit into chicken salad with big men his entire career. DeAndre Ayton's actually pretty good. This is going to be money. Like, he's going to put some numbers this year. And as I'm self masturbating in my brain about how great this pick's going to be, you just swoop in and steal him with your back to back picks every round. And I'm like, how dare you know about this? That draft was so kooky. I just laughed, and I'm like, well, if LeBron's ranked 12th, he's going 6th, because like God knows he might go 7th, and I want LeBron James, because if anyone's gonna stuff fantasy stat sheets, it's LeBron James. But
I picked Ayton because I like the Suns.
If that's why you picked him, I was mad at the moment, because I ended up going with a Nick. I find in pro basketball, if you go with stat stuffers on bad teams, you tend to turn out really well, because wins don't mean anything. Exactly. Yeah, so I have a very stat stuffy bad team, good player team, so I'm okay. But I got LeBron. I took LeBron early, but when James Harden was still there at number 5, I think he went number 5 in our draft. I was like, man, if I can get James Harden. And then someone came to their senses. He was supposed to go first overall, because he goes first overall in every draft, but he went 5th overall in ours. The fun part for me, I don't know who cares about our fantasy, but watching the whole Raptors starting 5 go in the first 2 rounds was,
yeah,
that was something.
It's impressive. Listen, we're in. It's just it's a fun little league. Nothing crazy here, and. I invited Steve knowing full well that there was likely going to be some Raptor homerism going on.
Not for me. I don't have a single Raptor. I do not have a single Raptor on my team.
Because you played it smart, and that's fine.
Well, it's nothing to play smart. I just know the Raptors' stats don't really get inflated. They share the ball a lot. So, like, there's not.
I also took Devin Booker because I like Phoenix. So, I got a lot of.
But Devin Booker's a stat stuffer, so that's a good call.
Yeah.
With some numbers. The Raptors are good because it's a share the wealth situation. Everybody contributes. There's not one guy. There's not one guy in the Raptors that really lights it up night in and night out. Devin Booker lights it up night in and night out. LeBron James lights it up night in and night out. And I believe DeAndre Ayton will this year as well. But I don't know how you draft Kyle Lowry in the second round of a fantasy draft. Like, I love Kyle, and I think the world of Kyle, but that's a costly pick.
That's a reach. That's a reach. It's a big reach. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys posted as the league goes on, because I think it's going to be fun.
Well, it ties into our constant conversation with fantasy leagues whenever we get into things, and then things just go sideways real fast due to illogical picks. And next thing you know, you're just scrambling because no one's drafting in the appropriate order. And that was real fun for me the other night. I was I was dying laughing, because every time we have a fantasy conversation, we talk about it. When that first person makes that weird pick and then everybody starts scrambling, it's probably the only thing I really still enjoy about fantasy sports.
It's fun. I'm going to get you out on this just because we are Canadians, and we would be remiss if I didn't mention it. The World Junior IIHF hockey tournament is starting on December 26th. Obviously, you're picking the home team. I'm assuming you're picking Canada. I'm picking Canada. I don't know anything about any of the guys that are in there, and I feel a little bit of shame. But if you're interested in hockey, that's the next little bit of hockey. We did get confirmation. Canadian division is a go.
Hey, can't wait for that. Leafs Oilers 7 times this year. It's going to be great. Austin Matthews is going to score 50 and 40. You watch. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to Canada. Full disclosure, I haven't watched the World Junior Tournament since I think Ovechkin was in it. But that being said, I always feel confident in taking Canada. If Canada doesn't even make the medal round, then I didn't say that. I picked Russia. And if Russia doesn't make the medal round and Canada doesn't make the medal round, the tournament got blown up. So it didn't happen. We're the hockey superpower. It's part of our religion. It's in our DNA. Even though I can't skate, I can make that joke. Canada.
Go Canada. If people want to correct you on why people do hate Kawhi Leonard, or if they want to let you know about other reasons they hate other people, where can they find you on the socials?
Yeah, man, I'm always up to have a basketball discussion, especially when it's filled with negativity and hatred. That always makes my day. So, yeah, find me at SteveSteele23 on Twitter, at SteveSteele23 on Instagram. Instagram is mostly just dedicated to sneakers and designer clothing I buy, so you're probably not going to really want to contact me on there. You're probably just not going to like me and find me an insufferable prick. But on Twitter, I'm a much less insufferable prick, so that's where you should find me.
Sometimes. You can find me at Armchair Comment 2, at Armchair Commentary. Find us on the socials, share it with your friends, let them know. Thanks for listening.
And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Let us know on social media what you think of our episodes or what you'd like to see in the future. Do you want us to continue with our daily chats and then maybe talk about some more nostalgic things? Or are you looking forward to us getting back to covering regular sports as they happen? Maybe a combination of both. Only way we know what you guys are looking for from us is if you let us know on social media. You can find us, as always, at Armchair Commentary, at Armchair Comment 2. Plus, you can find Steve at SteveSteele23 on both Instagram and Twitter. Our merch is available at tpublic.com or redbubble.com. Search Armchair Commentary. Once you get some merch, if you decide you want to pick something up, send us a screenshot, send us a picture on social media. Make sure to tag us. Show off that merch. And last but not least, if you are celebrating Christmas, if you are going through the holidays and you are enjoying some time, please be safe. We can't wait to do this again. We have one more episode this year. That'll be 52 episodes this year. If you've been here since the beginning, we thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Stay safe. We'll see you again next week.